When it became known on Wednesday that we were going to change directions for the Sunday evening service tonight because it was not going to be our last Sunday evening, I began to change directions in my own spirit as to what I should share with you tonight. And I would like to share what might be called simply a pastoral message. It's not the normal kind of sermon I preach where I take a text from Scripture and work through it. I would simply like to share with you some directions that I feel for Sunday night services. Most churches in Newport Beach and Costa Mesa do not have a Sunday evening service, so why should we be one of the few that have a Sunday evening service? And why, after all, should a person come to church twice on Sunday? Isn't Sunday morning enough? I mean, are you really sinful that you need to come twice? And why, after all, leave 60 Minutes, the number one program of the week? And why not be at home with the family or have a night of free time, and especially if you have younger children? Why hassle with the kids and bring them out and go through all of that rigmarole? I speak as a person who has grown up in as a Sunday night attender. Probably in my life of 39 years, I doubt that I have missed more than 40 or 50 Sunday nights, which means on a given year in my life, usually 50 Sundays or more are spent in a Sunday evening service ever since I was old enough to remember. I've seen a lot of transition, as perhaps some of you older Christians here have seen over the years in respect to Sunday night. In the days before television, Sunday night was a time, really it was the big thing going in any given community. It was a time to reach out, especially in evangelism. Persons who were not Christians, who were not churched, would tend to accept an invitation to come out to Sunday evening. The culture has somewhat changed today, and persons who do not know the Lord more frequently come to service on Sunday morning. Sunday nights was also a time for the deepening of the Christian life, and a great emphasis upon that as well. Before I share with you what I feel to be today some of the directions that our church is to take on Sunday evening, I want to give you some history of my own involvement with Sunday nights and just share with you by way of testimony some of the features of the services that I, as a young person growing up in the church, knew. And I would divide these into five areas. And by you knowing where I'm at will help you maybe understand where I would like to see us be. Singing was a big feature of the Sunday night services that I grew up in as a child. I grew up in a gospel music church with a great emphasis upon enthusiastic congregational singing. And by the way, I have a thing about enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is from a Greek word, entheos, and that means in God. And to me, enthusiastic singing means singing that is responding to God from the heart. And it's more than just a lip mechanical repetition of what is happening. The songs that I grew up with are different than the worshipful choruses we sing today, which many times have a slower pace to them. The songs that I knew most as a kid were gospel songs. They had fast pace, and you clapped with them, and everybody really got into the singing. In fact, the faster the song, the more spiritual it was. It's really interesting to see the maturity that comes to the body of Christ over a period of time. Sometimes God prompts us to sing sprightly, and sometimes more softly in His presence. Testimonies were another feature of the services that I was a part of. There was an opportunity to provide neat service for persons to stand up and tell what Christ had done in their life. Alas, over a course of time, for many this became a cliché, so that you almost had to change directions in Sunday night testimony service because you knew that certain people were going to share who just did it automatically and didn't really have anything to say in the sharing. And so you just kind of had to change direction in that regard. I remember, though, as a kid sitting in a service, and some of the Sunday night services I was in were very small, 20, 30 in attendance, and almost everybody would get to testify. And there I am sitting as a 12-year-old kid waiting to get my turn coming in and paralyzed with fear getting up before this vast audience of 30 people and testify and saying something like, "I thank the Lord for saving me. Please pray that I'll hold out faithful to the end." Sat down. And I just was doing what everybody else was doing at that particular moment. Maybe, though, it was important that we declare ourselves. And so I don't look anymore at the cliches as something that's necessarily bad. It did provide for many an opportunity to declare their faith in Christ, and it reflected involvement of people in the service. in testimony meetings in Arkansas. The testimony meeting there was quickly dispensed with because it was simply said, it's testimony time. If you'd like to testify, stand up. And 30, 40 people would stand up, start talking all at once, and sit down. The testimony service was over. It was an incredible experience. It was edifying to the people that gave the testimony, but as St. Paul says, it was not edifying to the church as a whole. Special music was also a feature of the Sunday night services that I grew a part of. It was an opportunity to get duets, trios, and quartets together. And even I, as a child growing up in the church, got a chance to write songs. Maybe it was because our churches that I was in were somewhat smaller, and periodically I'd get an opportunity. And I remember as a 10-year-old composing this song. I gave it to my mother, and at one point or another, I'm sure that I must have got up one Sunday evening and sung it. And it was, I came to church one evening, the dust was on the floor, cobwebs were on the ceiling, no one was there at all. See, we had a small crowd. I looked for the preacher, but he wasn't there, and then I remembered about a year ago, the church doors were open, but just a few would go. And it was a dirge, a lament on Sunday evening attendance. See, I grew up in a pastor's home where that was very, very important. People come Sunday night. So I was just sure the church was going to close if people didn't show up. Sermons were another great feature of the churches that I grew up in on Sunday evening. And there were many sermons preached. I basically recall three themes that touched my life as a youth and as a young person growing or as an adolescent and a youth growing up in the church. The three topics that most touched my life were the coming of the Lord or the rapture of the church, and sermons that had to do with prophetic involvement. And I was always convinced at the end of every sermon on prophecy that I needed to get resaved. I was sure the Lord had this thing in for me, for George Wood, that He was waiting for a time to return when I was doing something wrong so that He could leave me. And so I was continually had my spirit open and wounded by conviction. Sometimes it was not godly conviction, it was just a troubled conscience. Another kind of message that really touched me was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so there were occasions in my life when I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin, and sermons in respect to that touched me. And then the baptism with the Spirit was a theme frequently spoken on as well, and since between the ages of 10, when I gave my life to the Lord, and 16, I did not receive the baptism in the Spirit, it was a great struggle for me, and I was convinced that the Holy Spirit really didn't like me. Jesus loved me, and the Father probably did, but the Holy Spirit definitely did not. And so Sunday night did a lot of guilt-inducing in my life and got me down to the altar quite a few times. As I look back, though, it's amazing how God works through inadequate perceptions of what is being preached. I'm sure that my father who preached sermons and other ministers who came by and preached sermons had no idea of how I sometimes received a word. What they were saying was entirely different from what I was hearing. But I took that in my own childlike way and applied it in distorted fashion to my own spirit. But all the emphasis upon getting right with God had its intended effect in terms of the fruit that it produced, that I developed at an early age a sensitivity to God in my life. The last feature that I just mentioned by way of testimony of Sunday nights was the time of at the altar. Every Sunday night service concluded with a response to come to the altar and personally pray. That was an important time of really meeting with God, that time of weekly prayer. It was very little occasion during the week that I actually took time of my own to meet with God, even though I knew I should have private devotional time. That Sunday night provided that oasis for me. And the tarrying and waiting upon the Spirit of God brought closeness to God. It brought cleansing in my life. It's a wonderful thing, by the way, and maybe if Sunday nights didn't do anything else, that it's the one time in the church where Christians have a chance to see other Christians in mass on their knees. And that alone is a powerful environmental experience to witness other Christians on their knees. And so I saw everybody praying. I saw my parents praying. I saw godly Christians praying. I saw some ungodly Christians praying. It was a time when the church got on its knees in humility and intercession before God. It was at the altar that I said to the Lord, "Here's my life, Lord. You can do with it what you want. You can call me to the ends of the earth. You can call me to the ministry. You can call me to be a lawyer. You can call me to do anything you want. Here's my life, Lord. I give it irrevocably to you." It was in those Sunday nights at the altar that time and again I dedicated my life to the Lord's work and to His call. Even the over-enthusiastic altar workers of my day, something good should be said for them. I've had people gather around me praying for me that I'd receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, hold my hands up in prayer for hours on end. maybe it seemed like hours on end. Actually, it was only 20 or 30 minutes. I've had people in laboring over me in prayer, spray me, give me all kinds of advice on how to break through to God, some of which I chafed in my spirit as they were doing it. But in the last analysis, I figure now that that's just simply good group dynamics. That's just loving people, caring for people. Maybe sometimes not wisely, but somehow our spirits always register and we can look past the unwise things to see the heart of people that really cared for us spiritually, who were willing to wait with us and pray with us and believe God could do something special in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back and do everything that's been done in the past. I simply share with you that's my personal history. You can't put new wine in old skins, as the Lord has taught us. So, given that as a background, I'd like to state my case for why we at Newport Mesa have evening services in 1981. And here is what you'll miss if you're not here. I think it's important on Sunday evenings that we take time to open our spirits to God through singing and through praise. Every service ought to begin with singing and praise, because singing and praise tunes our heart to God. And I'm becoming more and more to believe that we ought to take more extended times for singing and for praise before God. That is one thing that we cannot simply accomplish in the Sunday morning services because of the limited time and because of the high number of guests that are involved. It is not, I quite frankly feel, it is not fair to guests to throw at them chorus after chorus that they've never heard before. They're in the service looking on at what is happening and cannot participate, and I don't feel that is fair at all. In Sunday evening, perhaps there's a greater sense of having the family here. We can take time to experiment. We can take time to relax. We can take time to sing choruses that do not need words in front of us, or we can gradually learn them. We have the luxury of not being under the gun of two services in an hour in length, which I am forever violating by preaching longer than I should. Jesus says to us, they who worship the Father must do so in spirit and in truth. And worshiping the Lord through singing simply gives us an opportunity to open our hearts to God in a way that nothing else ever will. Singing, as we know from the Scriptures, is a great cure for depression. It is a great means by which we enter into the Spirit of God and to His will and work for our lives. And we ought to be singing choruses that are new and choruses that are old, songs that are new and songs that are old, because Jesus said every scribe trained for the kingdom of God is like the householder that brings out of his treasure something that is old and something that is new. We have to find many ways through worship and praise to open our lives and tune them to God and tune them with one another. This is something I can't do by myself. I can sing by myself, but I can't get the feeling of involvement with many other voices blending with mine as we come before the throne of God, except I do it with you, and we do it in a group. Even a small group of 12 people does not give us the chance to have the kind of worship experiences that this group allows. It's very important that we open our hearts in extensive times of singing and praise to the Lord. And in this coming year, I expect we're going to be doing some things that are going to help us open up more in this area. A second thing that I believe is Sunday night is designed to do is to cause us to really experience fellowship with one another. I don't know about you, but I don't sense myself that sometimes with the amount of people that are here on Sunday morning that we have at times as much opportunity to really fellowship and pray for one another as we ought. Sunday night can give us that time of really saying, who's here? Who can we care for? Who can we love? Who can we reach out and have fellowship? What new person can we link up with? Experiencing koinonia together. The early church was in fellowship with one another. A third thing that I see happening on Sunday evenings is that Sunday evenings also provide for a diverse operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Not again that Sunday morning does not provide that opportunity, but I have found in my experience, if you will take this as a justification from experience in my 39 years of living, that most frequently the vocal gifts of the Spirit seem to operate on Sunday night rather than on Sunday morning. And I'm not sure I know all the reasons for that happening. Some of which, again, is the schedule of time. Some of which is the high amount of people on Sunday morning that may not necessarily be tuned in with the Lord's purposes and His ways. Some of it may be that there's simply a greater crowd of people and people somehow feel more inhibited to share. But Sunday nights, somehow in relaxing in the Spirit's presence, I've sensed over and over again, God has given people in the church, or given to me personally, words of prophecy, or an utterance in tongues, or an interpretation of tongues, that special gifts of the Spirit take place that often do not happen at another time. And these are powerful ways of receiving from God's hand. Sunday night also is a chance for us to hear again and again practical application of God's Word to our lives, so that we take the Scripture and make it very living and real in our experience. This year, for example, in some of the Sunday night series that I'm personally going to be I'm going to give a series in February on learning to pray. Prayer probably is the most difficult thing that we as Christians struggle with to do on a daily and individual basis. So we're going to look at why pray and how to pray and how to have prayers answered and to look at meaningful prayer in our lives. Dr. Walter Martin is going to be with us in May to give a series on the cults. He's going to do a 3-Sunday night series on the occult, the Maze of Mormonism, and the new science of mind cults like EST and Scientology. We're planning some emphasis on family living this year. We're also looking at my personally giving a Sunday night series on Christ and culture, and we're going to look at things like narcissism, the me generation, and the sexual revolution, and the prognostications about the future and how we as Christians listen to a secular world talking about the future. I'm going to give, the Lord willing, this year sometime a Sunday evening service series on the book of Job. We'll look at suffering and its place in our lives. So there will be a continual emphasis of a practical application of God's Word to us. Things that simply, again, because of the nature of things, not everything from the Word of God can be possibly scoped into a Sunday morning time. So we'll look at greater growth in our life through the application of God's Word. Also, what I would like to see happen in the Sunday evening services is responding to God personally with personal prayer and commitment. And this involves sometimes gathering together in a small group in the church sanctuary at the close of a service and praying for one another. And it involves many other times, I hope, coming to an altar and praying personally to the Lord. As I look back over my many years of attending Sunday night, I must confess to you, and this is a chagrin to a preacher, but I do not remember a great many sermons I have heard on Sunday night. Probably if I were to ask to call out to you all the titles of sermons I have heard and their outlines on Sunday night, I couldn't do a very good job of that. I can remember some with outstanding feeling. I can remember the night I heard a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it absolutely changed my life and my whole way of thinking. But what I remember most about Sunday evening isn't what the preacher said. Maybe the way he said it I remember, but not what he said. And that's terrible for me to confess that, isn't it? Because there's one important thing I want for you. Is I want you to write down every word I say and put it in a notebook and go home during the week and memorize it, because what I'm sharing is from God's Word and it will charge you up and it will make you a better Christian. So don't take my negligence in this area as a justification for not listening to what I'm saying. But I do remember that in each Sunday evening service where I had a chance to personally respond to God on an altar, somehow, it may have been after some coaxing, I find my way and I begin to pray to God. And I know the times of personal commitment to the Lord. We forget the services and the sermon sometimes, but we never forget or forsake the commitment. I think that praying at an altar is akin to what Hannah experienced in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, when it is said, she was in the house of the Lord, pouring out her soul to God. We need more than the putting forth of words in God's presence. We need the pouring out of our soul to Him. In personal prayer and commitment, certain things happen. I find myself convicted of sin. I find myself making commitments to the Lord to be His person and to go anywhere or to be anything He asks me to do. I find myself opening my life to the Holy Spirit, to the baptism in the Spirit, to the gifts of the Spirit, to the work of the Spirit in my life in a special way. I find myself on Sunday evenings at a time of prayer interceding for myself and others and for the world. And I think, again, it's really appropriate as we pray this Sunday night that we pray again for the hostages. And I think praying past the hostages for the Church of Jesus Christ in Iran. Do you know that during Christmas time, one of the Iranian Assemblies of God pastors, in fact, two Iranian Assemblies of God pastors were the Protestants who ministered to the Protestant captives. And a college student of mine, a friend of mine, was a missionary in Tehran, Iran. And had a personal hand in the development of these Iranian Christian leaders, a very outnumbered Christian community in Iran, a very dangerous place to witness for Christ. But somehow we have an opportunity in a moment of prayer to collectively, as a congregation and individually as people, intercede as God may lay needs upon our heart elsewhere, to intercede for others. Where will the next generation of Christian workers come from? Where will the next generation of Christian missionaries come from? Where will the next generation of Christian pastors and lay people come from? I believe it will come from us. It will come from our young people as they find a place of meeting with God, whether it's at an altar in a sanctuary, whether it's a place personally, but we ought to be in intercession as Jesus gives us the strength for the next generation. And I think also a time of Sunday night ought to be bring a sense of rejoicing in God, just outright delighting our hearts in the Lord. A scripture, I didn't read the scripture to begin with, I saved it for the end. Do you know where the first Sunday night service is in the scripture? In the New Testament? Where is the first Sunday night service? Nobody wants to take a guess at it. I think many of you know. It's described in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. The first Sunday night service is on the evening of the first day of the week that Jesus had risen. He held a Sunday night service first. There was no Sunday morning service that Easter Sunday. The first service was on the evening. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom. Shalom, that great Hebrew word which stands for everything's all right. The integrated life, the actualized personality, the person who's at home with himself or herself, at home with others, at home with God, the person who's arrived at a state of being and rest and power and strength and inner wholeness, shalom. That's what the resurrection of Jesus accomplishes in our life. We're disoriented and we're fractured and we're going a million directions and we don't have our priorities straight and we don't have our sins forgiven and we don't have invigorating power in our life until Jesus in His resurrection comes and stands in the room of our heart and says, shalom, peace I give to you. My wholeness, my life, my power, my resurrection I give to you. He says, shalom. And after this, He showed them His hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, shalom. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What is Jesus doing here? He's telling us of His wholeness. He's telling us that He is sending us. He is telling us that He is breathing upon us the Holy Spirit. He is telling us to forgive one another. Aren't all these things to happen in a sense of a season of rejoicing as we worship on Sunday evenings, that we feel the Lord's presence in our midst? Christ is here just as surely today in spirit as He was on that first Sunday evening. And I want our Sunday evening times together not to be mechanical. I don't want us to have Sunday evening because we've always had Sunday evening services. We ought not to ever do anything because it's simply tradition, although tradition ought not to lightly be tossed aside, as Fiddler on the Roof teaches us. But traditions can be good. But we ought not to just keep something for the sake of tradition. If God's purposes can be fulfilled in other ways that are better, then by all means, let's do it. But I think there are some things that God cannot get done except we gather together in these kinds of times on Sunday evening. I sincerely believe that with all my heart, or I would stand up and announce next Sunday that I've recommended to the deacons that we disband on Sunday night. I would like for you to join with me in those purposes, to make these your own and add to them as God leads you as a member of the congregation. God may show you something special that's to happen in your life or in this whole congregation on Sunday evening. And we're an open people, open to the direction of the Spirit of God. More than anything else, I want to see Sunday nights as a time of genuine meeting with God, of heart-to-heart communication with God, that the presence of the Lord will be so real in our midst that none of us can doubt it or go away saying, well, it was just another thing that we went to. It will be a time really of meeting with God and experiencing a season of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. Amen? Stand with me, will you?